You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as it's a Thursday, it's the double-header Dream Team edition of the 5 o'clock shadow with Viv Govender from Rand Swiss in Johannesburg and David Shapiro around the corner at Melrose Arch at Sasfin Security. David, can we start with you, please, on South African Reserve Bank? We don't need to do too much because we know they were going to cut, but what were the details?
I think the governor felt comfortable, you know, because the rand had benefited or from the weaker dollar and was a lot stronger than the last time they met. I think there was a big fear that the rand would weaken. You know, nobody could read the currencies and no one could read the Sell America view. So I think that gave him encouragement. Plus the general trend here in inflation as well. So we reduced rates by 25 points. I think everybody had built this in. I think this was largely expected. But, you know, five of the governors, I think, voted in favor, one against, who wanted a slightly bigger cut. So to a large extent, it's in the market. I think the rand is 1780 at the moment, 779. But I think that's more from a weaker dollar, which is now responding to the GDP number that came out of the U.S., and also now opening views that, or raising views, you know, that the Fed's going to cut as well. So this just, just makes it easier for them to cut with inflation coming down or the trend in inflation down. The PCE was slightly better than the market expected. So, who knows? You know, to try and actually join the dots can be very difficult sometimes.
Okay, we'll come to the US in a moment. The economic side of the United States. Well, let's get to the corporate side. Nvidia, please, Viv. Great set of numbers. I think a 73% increase in revenue. A little bit of a problem with China, but I noticed one of the big banks immediately came out and raised their share price forecast. What did you make of the numbers, Viv?
The numbers weren't actually spectacularly good. For normal companies, they are. But, I mean, obviously, Nvidia has a lot of, you know, built-in expectations here. So that wasn't quite that great. But the thing that really was the thing was, I think, the story they were saying around it, the fact that demand was so strong. Yes, you mentioned China. They're losing money on China. But I don't know if you saw today with Trump's tariffs being reversed. And have you heard of the taco trade now?
Yes, it's Trump always chickens out. Yes, yes. Taco.
I think that was Robert Armstrong of the Financial Times.
Yeah.
He coined that taco. You know, Trump always chickens out.
He hates it.
He does. But so I think that indicates that there's a possibility that they're going to recover some of those things with regards to China as well down the line. But yeah, look, AI demand is still sky high, and I think that's what's pushing this stuff through. Like I said, the actual numbers, okay, but not great, yeah.
Okay, but what would you do? I mean, people are raising their share forecasts. You stick with it, or do you buy more, Viv, or do you actually lighten your load a bit?
Look, I mean, I have Nvidia. I always have. You guys know I have that AI portfolio.
Yes.
Things that I always have had there is Nvidia. I've always had Tesla. I've always had, Meta, the big companies. I've had Palantir almost since the start as well. I've recently bought like CrowdStrike and that kind of thing. So these companies, I mean, they are the effective backbone of the AI, revolution. And you can't not have Nvidia in your portfolio, unfortunately. All the other stuff as well. I mean, ASML was up today. I think it's come down a little bit since then. But you've seen all the other tech companies as well. All the chip-related companies basically do quite well in this news as well.
Okay, David, over to you on Nvidia. You're the same, I suppose.
I'm the same. No, I'm very bullish. Because the more you listen to Jensen Wang, I can never pronounce it properly, but the more you listen to what's happening in the industry, the more you realize that this rollout, whatever word you want to use, the infrastructural development is going to go on for another 3-4 years. Yes, this early phase is the hardware side of it. You know, I'm calling the bricks and mortar, building the data centers, you know, getting the right kind of infrastructure in technical, technology in. And after that comes the next phase as well. So it's like the internet, you know, you had to build the internet for companies to use it. And I the more I hear analysts, the more I hear people like Jensen Wang talk, the more I'm encouraged. And I think it's still the biggest driver. What I like about it, it's taken all the attention away from Trump. You know, we once again, I'm saying, you know, once again, looking at companies, looking at industries, you know, looking at where this is going, rather than worrying about then having Trump at the center of attraction and just making us annoyed. You know, this is, I'm so glad this is happening. And, you know, we're back to kind of almost like fundamentals.
Well, yeah, short term we are, David. But on the other hand, I'm slightly worried that things have gone all right. I mean, it's great that this international trade court in New York with three judges have said, what are you talking about? You can't actually do this. But on the other hand, what about the businesses? What about the businesses that one minute are going to pay 50% for a European import? The next, it'll be lower and it'll be later. And now none of the trade tariffs are going to go through after the appeal by the Trump administration. It's chaos, David. Sorry, Viv, I'll come to you in a second on this one. But it's really getting annoying now, isn't it? I mean, it's always been annoying, but it's more annoying now.
But I think the markets have discounted all of this. They've just moved ahead, you know, and they say, yeah, we know it's going to happen. The effects are not going to be too bad. Look, Trump can still oppose individual tariffs, like on steel or on something. He can't do it in a blanket way or just say, we're going to put 20% tariffs on, you know, the EU. Mm. It's got to be more specific. I think that's what the ruling is. So they'll find a way. He's not a person who's scared by the law. You know, him and his advisors, you know, that's, I don't think, you know, they're going to stand down. They'll find something else to do and so it'll go. But I mean, it has been a bit of a blow for him, regardless that the courts have, you know, he's still going to go to the Supreme Court where I think the bias is towards him. But nevertheless, I think, I'm glad that the courts are standing up to him. And, you know, telling him that if you want to do anything like this, it's got to go through Congress or it's got to go through the right kind of procedures. But we're getting bored of it, Lindsay.
I'm so bored of it. 6 months seems like 6 years with this, Philip. Viv, are you bored with it, Viv, or do you just blot it out in your special way?
I don't know if this is actually like in long term against Trump's favor, because you remember that dinner he had recently where the guys that bought his meme coin get to have dinner with Trump? Hmm. This is just going to mean that he's going to have more ability to pick and choose who, you know, gets tariffs and who doesn't get tariffs, which is going to be giving more power and therefore more chance for corruption. That's all this is going to mean down the line, because now it's going to be every single industry has to go individually and say, buy his meme coin, donate to his library, you know, do conferences at Trump Center or whatever it's sort of called here, Trump Towers and whatnot. That is what this is about. You know what I mean? We mustn't think of it this as like, oh, Trump has some philosophy about how the world should be. Some of the people under him have a philosophy like that. I mean, Stephen Miller definitely hates immigrants. You know, J.D. Vance has a philosophy about, you know, towards white working class workers and stuff here. But Trump wants to get rich, and this is just going to give him more opportunity, because now he can, let's say, Europe. What's Europe going to do? They're going to bribe him directly, like a towel. Mm-hmm. But you know, Siemens might, there may be companies in Europe, particularly, that might give him a couple of things here and there. Yeah, that's the future, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to reality, David. Quickly, I mean, we look occasionally at South African companies, listed companies that have come out with their numbers, either trading updates or results. Spar, Adcorp, Lewis. Adcorp, we spoke about the other day, David, and it was up on the trading update, up another 7% today on the actual numbers. Lewis's, retailer, obviously, but in a specific field, up 6%. And Spar, we all know about Spar, what it does, down 3.75%. Yeah. Any of those that you looked at and said, wait a second, there's a flashing light here, good or bad?
To be honest, I haven't gone into great detail. You know, Spar, we know, has been under pressure. They're talking now about selling their Swiss operation, which I don't know why they were there in the first place. You know, they really are kind of backtracking on all their overseas expansions. And at the end of the day, they're going to end up in Nelspruit or in KZN, wherever they used to be, or Joburg, so on. Hmm. You know, it's sad because fundamentally it's a buying organization. You know, it's a very, very good business. But come under a lot of pressures for many reasons, including technology. Lewis, great little business. It's been around. This was Gus. Remember, great Universal stores.
Yes.
You might know that in the UK. And they've always been a very super, you know, very good business. They know what they do. They had a few issues when they were overcharging on insurance and other things like that. But that's how they make money. They don't sell furniture. They sell, it's a financial company where the vehicle is selling a dining room table or a bed, because when you buy that on HP or whatever they call it on terms today, you have to take out insurance. You have to cover yourself in case you don't make those payments. And that's where the margins are. But it's a good business.
And so, I think so you go in and buy a sofa, and at the side there's a kiosk where you say, right, you like that sofa? Sign here, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, people who buy on HP say, how much can I afford? 200 Rand a month. What fridge can I get for 200 Rand a month? We'll take it. You know, and the margins are astronomical. When you actually break down what these people pay, you know, in terms of the interest rate, it's massive. But, you know, that's capitalism. So, but Lewis is a good business. Got a, you know, a lot of good stores and been around for a long time.
Okay, good. Some good news. Right, let's have a look at the markets now. You mentioned the rand, David. 1778 is the dollar rand, which is a 1.3% fall for the US dollar. British pound against the rand is 23.98, and the euro rand is, where is that euro rand? 26.19 now. Look at that, 26.19. Gosh, that's quite a... No, so what am I talking about? No, I'm looking at the wrong thing. 2019. Excuse me. These pharmacy sunk reading glasses really are quite poor. 20.19 the euro rand, in case anyone just fell off their chair. Euro dollar 113.60. That's a 1.05% rally for the euro against the dollar because of what David said, economic data coming out of the US, GDP. What was the exact number, David? Do you remember? For the GDP? Yeah.
Oh, US?
Yes.
0.2. Minus 0.2.
Okay. There you go. That explains it. British pound, 134.90. Commodities now. The gold price is up $20 on that weaker dollar, 33.17. The platinum price is barely changed at $1,084 an ounce, and palladium is up 8 to 9.91. Now, other commodities, the oil price... has, it's been quite an influence. OPEC meeting in Vienna, of course, and oil price now 1.2% weaker for Brent crude, $64.13. Had a little bit of a flurry this morning after the tariff story and then came back down again. And West Texas crude, $60.93, down 1.5%. Natural gas prices down 3.2% as well. And all this having a negative effect on the overall index, the CRB, that is. S&P 500 futures were over 1% higher, knee-jerk reaction again to the tariff story. Now only up about 0.33%, 5,924. US 10-year Treasury, 4.44% expectations of a Fed rate cut. And the Fed minutes are being read out at the moment, actually, people going through it line by line. But anyway, 4.44% for the US 10-year. South African 10-year. Has been firm, obviously, with the good inflation data, and very firm today after the interest rate cut, 10.17% for the South African 10-year. And Bitcoin, which has been in the news, I'm going to ask Viv about this in a moment, so get ready, Viv. $107,538.10 for one Bitcoin. And the other day, 2 days ago, they said that Trump was going to raise $2 billion via Truth Social in order to buy Bitcoin. It's not as if they're being very subtle about telling you what they're going to do, are they? And I think that's the reason why over the weekend it went to $112,000, Viv. What do you make of it?
Look, I mean, the Bitcoin thing is crazy because, the biggest competitor to Bitcoin in the world is the U.S. dollar. You know, it's the alternative reserve currency in the world. It's the idea that the U.S. government, you know, if you look at it from purely a U.S. point of view, you don't want Bitcoin to succeed in any kind of way. You don't want it to be the reserve currency of the world or something that's, you know, competitive to the U.S. dollar. And, you know, for a country like the U.S., what does Bitcoin do for you except be competitive to your currency and allow for people to do transactions that are away from your financial services, infrastructure? It is a thing that you would not expect the U.S. president to want to be supporting.
No, exactly. If you go back
to they were the people who put him in power. You know, they made large donations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got payback time. His family are making an absolute fortune.
Did you see those two boys, Eric Trunk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see them in Las Vegas sitting there laughing their heads off? I mean, so smug. He wanted to slap them. Yeah, horrible.
You know, I don't know where your dad's a president of the United States. Take a low key.
Yeah.
You know, go back in the office, do the books of account, balance the cash book. You know, that kind of thing. And they're taking full advantage of their name. And obviously people are going to suck up to them simply because this might create a connection. You know, it's not that they don't talk to their dad. You know, I'm absolutely sure that they're private conversations about what's happening. I just cannot believe that USA 2025 is in this kind of situation. You know, maybe in the early days, in fact, quite the opposite. But I mean, in the early days, you know, you might have got away with this or early development of a company. But that this happens in this kind of day where there's so much emphasis on corporate governance and doing the right thing. This is just flouts. You know, just breaks every rule. No one cares. No one even talks up.
Well, they're too scared to, you see. It's very interesting with Trump, because in 2018, I went back through his Bitcoin utterances, and he said it's a scam. He says he doesn't really understand. He admitted that he didn't. He said, but it seems to me, he says, like this is one big scam. And that was 2018. Now, suddenly, of course, it's exactly the opposite. But it is a very, very strange situation that we're faced with. And the other thing is the 2 weeks with Putin as well. 2 weeks with Putin. I looked that up, Viv, the two-week quote. And he's, I think, on about 32 occasions, he said, well, you better watch this because we're going to do this in 2 weeks. Not referencing Putin, but any other thing. That's his thing, says in 2 weeks, in 2 to 3 weeks, in 2 weeks, in a fortnight, in a couple of weeks' time. He goes on, and on CBS, yes, it was 32 times he said it since his various presidencies. It's extraordinary what this man is up to. Okay, David, what have you got on the upside? What have you got on the upside, share-wise, both here and rather in South Africa and in the United States or Europe?
Obviously, the reduction in interest rates here kicked up some of the property trusts. You know, they were up quite strongly now, and also some of the retailers. So ShopRite, Redefine. I don't know why Life Healthcare and Netcare were up today, but Old Mutual as well, all benefiting from perhaps the trend in interest rates here. On the other hand, SPAR was down on those awful trading update, just problems still there. And some of the golds came down as well. But Lindsay, you know, stronger rand also took a bit of an edge off our market, but still it ended up, just under 1%, 0.91% at 94,726 with gains generally across the board. Nothing huge, but still steady gains, you know, widely across the board.
Yeah, I've got my top five on the JSE. ShopRite up nearly 4%. Redefine up 3.6%. Kumba Iron Ore up 3.5%. Life Healthcare 3.4% better. And Netcare up 3.4% as well. On the downside, SPAR down 3.9%. PH prop down 3.4, and rats and mice elsewhere. So yeah, generally an okay day, particularly the retailers looking quite good apart from SPAR, that is. What are we looking forward to? Viv, you've still got 2 days to sell in May. Will you be selling in May or will you be loading up?
No, I'm still pretty optimistic about the U.S. market. I mean, crazily enough, we were just chatting about it. We had a prediction kind of thing at the start of the year, like we normally do, and we predicted two things. I predicted the market would fall 20% by the time I get the prediction, and the market would end up positive for the year. And right now, both seem to be coming true. it's remarkable. It's remarkable just how volatile things have been. And any kind of pattern you've seen in the past, expect it to continue going forward. I mean, had you basically been out of this market this month, you know, the S&P 500, you would have lost 6.5%. This was not a steady May month.
Yeah, okay. So business as usual, despite the extraordinary eccentricities of people in charge. Okay. Gentlemen, David, you want to say something?
No, I'm just happy with where the market is. I'm looking at NVIDIA now. at $142 or just under now.
Gosh.
And having been almost, I don't know, Viv, how much was it down for after Liberation Day? But it's up, you know, 5.5-6% now on the year, having recovered this, the full loss. I think it was down at 96 at one stage. So, you know, that for me is a story. And I think all across the tech board, you know, I'm moving towards a view saying, you know, this whole diversification story, I'm not buying it. I just want to buy 10 stocks or 12. That's it, you know.
Really?
You know, because all the compliance people and everybody, you know, they put pressure on you. Oh, you can't have too much of this or you can't have this. You got to spread your portfolio. It's got to be balanced, blah, blah. Yeah. I say, what the hell? You know, if I look at where I've made money or where my clients have made money, it comes down to about a half a dozen stocks. The rest are nonsense. You know?
But it's not just the stocks, Dave. It's not so much you've got 6 or 8 or 12, whatever it is. It's the sectors they're in. That's the point. I mean, I speak to financial advisors and wealth managers and portfolio managers all the time, as you know, and they'll be horrified to hear what you've just said about diversification.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But the more I look at it, you know, In fact, I think it was Charlie Munger who actually admitted. He said, you know, if you look at Berkshire Hathaway, it's only a handful of shares that have made their made their profits. You know, most of the other stuff has done nothing. And you know, he's quite honest about it. I'm going to find the quote and write something.
You
around
find it, and while we'll get Viv on this one as well, because Viv, you're also not a diversification
now,
man.
But I mean. No, Viv likes to. No, you can't.
No,
he's got
an
AI portfolio. No,
yeah, so I think there's two kinds of periods in history. One is when there's normal markets, and one is when there's a technological shift or a paradigm shift happening. The internet revolution was one of those. This AI revolution is another one. Computers were back in the day another one. When this happens, what you do is you buy a selection of the stuff that you think is going to be going up, and then you never ever sell them. That's the thing. You can't rebalance. Like I have guys complaining about my AI portfolio that I'm approaching 20% on some stocks here, which I bought at 5%. You know what I mean? It's quadrupled. But the reason I'm not quadrupled is the whole portfolio is high as well. But the reason that we're still holding on to them is that if you go back and look at, for instance, what would you have done that made you the most money when the internet revolution happened? You bought stuff from Google, some Amazon, and some price.com. The price.com went to zero. You wouldn't you'd be dumb to sell your Amazon and Google to buy more price.com. You would rather just buy and hold. And as Amazon goes up 1,000 times, as Google goes up like hundreds of times, that's the way you do it. And look, when these markets mature, or who knows when the AI things matures, then you diversify out of it. But while it's going up, you never, ever diversify out of a rising psychological
boom. No, that's the biggest mistake. I shout and scream at people all the time. You know, we got 4.36% in NVIDIA. Let's take it down to 2.98%. You know, it's such ridiculous. Anyway.
Might be quite fun to get a traditional old school fund manager, because you two obviously embraced modern portfolio construction versus the old way. And just have a little bit of a discussion.
The thing is that they've got a Bible. And, you know, they start to read the Bible from the first page of that. And we stuffed them. You know, you know, they've got everything written down, and this is it. And, you know, so I'm saying, okay, I'm a bit agnostic on that. You know, what's the word?
Yeah. No, you're quite right. Okay, that's very interesting. You're giving me some ideas.
I have to write something about it. I mean, I have to get my arguments clear. You know, I can't just go up and then. But I'm going to find Charlie Munger as my base,
Okay. Just look at history. Just look at history. And look at when you had a technological revolution like this happening. And this is the biggest one in our lifetimes, you know, bigger than the internet. When the internet revolution happened, and you would have bought a selection of companies, just choose a random, like, you know, 20 internet companies. The most profitable way to basically run that trade is buy those 20 and never, ever sell your winners. Even if you went to, like, half your portfolio.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, that's what Nasdaq made its fortune on. Until recently, but that's, you know, never ever sell it because the Tencent just basically hold it on for 20 years, and you know, you did the best job you could have done.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good, it's a good theory, and it must be put to the test in an open forum. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time, and again, thank you for giving me food for thought. David Shapiro is from Sasser & Securities, if they're not listening, that is. And Viv Govender,
you know, I'm going to go and face a committee at Sasser. You know, they're going to. How can you say that? You know,
yeah,
I'm
going to
find.
I'll back you up, David. And Viv Govender is from Rand Swiss, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.